Good morning and welcome to the Corona Chronicles. We are picking up the story in Mark's Gospel chapter 6. And if you've been watching this series, you'll know that just before this in chapter 6, we had this frightening scene of John the Baptist, the prophet John the Baptist, beheaded. And but before that, Jesus had sent out the apostles to preach and to heal and to announce that the kingdom of God had come. And we're picking up the story really after that scene. So we're looking at verse 30 of chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things.
So pretty successful mission.
Sounds like it, right? Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't mind those kinds of numbers. And I mean, you know, you didn't get a chance to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we'd be pretty happy with it, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's quite amazing, isn't it, just to read that. They were, you know, they and I just think, what must that have been like? They come back and they're buzzing from teaching, and you know, some amazing things have happened.
Yeah.
And they're just
Imagine it's like kids when they want to tell you something.
Yeah.
They've been to a really exciting party, but they can't even sort of get.
But they're exhausted as well. You've had that, haven't you?
Yeah. And they're trying to like remember all the exciting things that happened, and they're just splurging out these words. And you get the impression that they're all gathering around Jesus. It's Jesus, let me tell you about the man who repented. He was a notorious sinner, but he believed in the message of the kingdom. Or Jesus, this man who was demon possessed, your spirit enabled us to drive this demon out.
Ran out of oil.
Yeah, ran out of oil. It's just amazing stuff. Yeah. And Jesus, the master pastor that he is, really recognizes that given the crowds that are gathering around, and they're obviously fatigued, the disciples, from what they're. And he says, "Look, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And of course,
he's setting them up for the next teaching
block.
You know, block. Yeah, exactly. Right, you need to learn more. You still haven't quite got it yet.
No. But he recognises that, and that was something he saw in himself, wasn't it?
So
we've seen in Mark how he himself retired to solitary places in order to pray and to rejuvenate, really,
for his
ministry.
But the word's out in verse 33, you know, that they can't really go anywhere without being recognized now. And you know, those words, and they ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's quite stressful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never really noticed this in Mark before, but it just seems that there is constant crowds, doesn't it? And you know, once you've kind of picked up on that detail, you start to see it everywhere, you know, and it begins to make you quite stressed.
Well,
it's
sort of
a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if I was one of them, you know, the disciples there, I can imagine doing the opposite of what Jesus does.
Yeah.
So verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them.
Yeah.
And he began to, you know, and I was thinking, you know, I would be saying, "Look, Jesus,
come on,
you know, let's send them away." Honestly, I mean, this, you know, we've done our bit, we've done our teaching. We just need a bit of downtime. Let's send them away. They'll find us again. You know, I wouldn't be up for further ministry at this point. But Jesus sees them, and he has compassion on them, and that is more than just a sort of sentimental feeling of I think it's that word for like a kind of gut-wrenching compassion. It's like sort of you know, sadness, but also concern and angst, and maybe even slight irritation at the way that they've been treated, or you know, there's this part of it.
They are shepherdless. That's the thing.
Right? Yeah,
that's the whole reason he has compassion, is because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And you know, and he knows that the shepherds are all around.
Yeah.
But they've just neglected the sheep. They've, you know, they're not being shepherds.
Yeah.
And it is amazing, isn't it? Like, the thing is that blows me away is that he sees the need. He knows the need, and the need that he fulfills is, you know, you might think, well, okay, these sheep need feeding. Mm. What do they need? Mm. They need teaching, is what they need. Mm. And that's what he ends up doing. So he began teaching them many things. And that goes against, what compassion, you know, you might think, well, what is compassion today? What's compassion? Yeah. Feeding the poor and, you know, lots of social justice kind of issues.
Yeah.
But actually, our biggest need is that we need to be taught by Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what the world needs.
I think that's right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, obviously he does go on, doesn't he?
To
take care of their physical
needs. Yeah. Yeah.
So he doesn't neglect those pressing concerns.
Yeah.
But his compassion, as you say, leads him to teach.
Yeah.
And that again is something that we've seen all over in Mark, you know. You know, chapter 6, verse 12, they went out and they preached that people should repent.
Yeah.
You know, all the way back in the early chapters, Jesus went from town to town preaching, for that is why he came.
Yeah.
You know? So his priority is one of announcement and proclamation. Yeah. And as you say, it is an expression of compassion.
Yeah.
You know? Just letting people believe what they want, go their own way, be themselves, might sound compassionate, but would be in fact an act of cruelty if what they're believing is wrong and harmful. You know, he needs,
because you're ignoring what their biggest need is.
Yeah, exactly. Know? And so that's what he does. And the sheep without a shepherd is again such a wonderful metaphor, because he has come to be that shepherd, hasn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think, is it Ezekiel 34, that kind of
area.
I just remember that chapter in particular. I think it's that talks about, you know, I will be your shepherd. Mm. God is speaking there, and he's saying, I will come, I will be your shepherd, I will feed the sheep.
Mm.
And here he is in the flesh.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that sort of, not only is that wonderful because we can say, well, that's how he looks upon us.
Yeah.
You know, he loves us and he wants to draw near and teach us, but it sets the pattern for how we should relate to the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we ought to not be standoffish and judgmental and harsh, but equally, you know, we mustn't sort of just do one side of the compassion without the teaching side.
Yeah.
You know, this compassion leading to proclamation is our model as a church as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So join us next time, and we're going to see what happens next.